Back together again, you and I, chatting it up Monday style, April 22nd, 2024 on Connecticut Today. I kicked off the show wondering where exactly today's college students get their senses of entitlement and expectation of influencing their school's business policies. Washington Times Online opinion editor Cheryl Chumley returned to the show. She commented on the current protest situation at many elite U.S. colleges, while our buddy Connecticut News Junkie columnist and Substack.com blogger Terry Cowgill drop by with his thoughts on the latest local and national stories.
So I'm sitting here at almost a quarter past two on this Monday. Good to have you back with us on this Monday, April the 24th, 2022nd rather, April 22nd, 2024. And I'm trying to figure something out. And maybe you can help me with this. Hopefully you can, because, you know, I'm saying this half tongue-in-cheek, but half seriously, because we seem to see this scenario played out over and over and over, and not necessarily as we're seeing it here in the Northeast now, at Yale and at Columbia. I guess this is going on now at Emerson and MIT. In Massachusetts, but all over the country. And I know what you're going to say, well, it's just protest. But let me get into this here just a bit. Just a wee bit. Hi, just a wee bit on this Monday. Where do college students get off on thinking that out of the, I don't know how many colleges there are in the country, thousands, I guess, if you go from elite four-year institutions like Yale and Harvard and Penn and Princeton and MIT and Emerson and BU and BC and Northwestern. You know what I mean? From the top of the top, the cream, the top, the tippy-tippy top of the mountain here of higher education, all the way down to, I don't know, smaller institutions, little private universities or colleges with only a few hundred or a few thousand schools, private, public, whatever. Where do these students get off thinking that they can select a college, free choice? They can do it. They can choose to pay, mom and dad pay, combination of payments, loans, nana, papa, they all kick in for their kid or their grandkid or their niece or nephew, whatever. Where do these folks, many of them, I would say the vast majority of them uninformed at 18, 19, 20 years old, where do they get off thinking they can tell a college or tell a university just because they've chosen to spend their money or mom's money or dad's money or their inheritance money or nana or papa or, you know, whatever fund has been set up for them? Just because they're going somewhere and gracing that campus, ooh, with their presence, where do these folks today in the year 2024, and this is nothing new, we're just seeing it personified here with the ugliness about the whole anti-Semitic thing, and don't tell me this is free speech because it's not. I've already gone round and round with a friend of mine on social media about that. Where do they get off saying that a university has to change its investment strategy? I mean, honestly. Where does any college student, now they have the right to protest about that. I get that. I understand that. I think they're all a bunch of idiots. That's a little rough, Paul, don't you think? Well, no. I mean, because now think about it. They get to a school, right? Whether it's Yale or Harvard or Princeton, Penn, MIT, whatever, Quinnipiac, Wesleyan, well, any school you can name. The College of Hard Knocks. As my uncle used to say, where'd you go to college? Oh, College of Hard Knocks. All right. How often do we hear that? And you get these students who suddenly think because, oh, they're there. Because they have chosen to spend their money or mom and dad's money. Where do they think? Where exactly is it written in their brain that they've got to scream and yell about something? Now, protest is fine. I'm not saying you can't protest. Don't call me up and saying, well, this is peaceful protest. No. When a Jewish woman gets poked or stabbed in the eye at Yale over the weekend, that ain't peaceful. No, sir. Sorry. When you've got chants on these campuses, when they're chanting, and by the way, all these people, they hide their faces. Who are they hiding from? What are they so afraid of? Show your faces. When I hear this, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. No, it won't. Sorry, Muffy. Sorry, Buffy. Sorry, Biff. Sorry, Muhammad. Sorry, Shalil. No, no, no. This is not going to happen. Israel isn't going anywhere. Sorry to say. As far as you're concerned, it's good as far as I'm concerned. But back to my original point. You know, I'm sure that there are some, and let's go by the percentages. I'm sure there are some of these highly educated people on these effete and elite campuses. And believe me, if I had a nickel for every minute I spent on the Yale campus growing up and covering news, I'd be a rich man. But having said that, I'm sure there are some people who honestly and philosophically understand the situation in the Middle East. But the vast majority of people, well, Yale must divest from arms companies and carbon fuels. Well, no, they don't. They don't have to, and they're not going to. Now, you can protest that and protest peacefully and hold news conferences and issue very well-written treatises and flyers and letters to the editor. God love you. But when you start chanting stuff about Allahu Akbar and from the river to the sea, no. Do you understand you've lost people? Now that? You've lost people. Nobody cares what you say. And I had a friend of mine messaged me, say, well, you know, this is like Vietnam in the 70s. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because a lot of people who protested in the 70s actually understood the issues. You think these effete scholars at Yale, and I use that tongue-in-cheek, do you think they have a deep understanding of what's going on in Israeli politics and Hamas here? And they throw out this, oh, my God, stop with the apartheid. If you took 5 minutes on your $1,500 smartphone to actually look up the definition of what exactly by international law is an apartheid state, you'll find that even though you can still disagree with Israel, they are not an apartheid state. They're not. With their employment practices, their residency practices, no. Now, are there other things you may disagree with them about? Of course, and you have every right to. But the stuff, make no mistake, and you know, of course we hear, well, the rising incidence of anti-Semitism in the U.S. Well, yeah, and is it any wonder, as David Bowie used to sing in Fame, is it any wonder where this is coming from? The petri dishes from this stuff, for this stuff, are leftist professors, leftist rabble-rousers on uber-left college campuses. Look at Columbia. They're not having any in-person classes today. They've lost control. And you hear that bite at the top of the news there? Columbia telling the NYPD, oh, stay away. We'll handle it internally. You will? Where's the Justice Department on this, by the way? Can you imagine if this was happening at an HBCU, a black or African-American college? This would be, you'd have armies of federal lawyers down there already. But, man, this stuff that's going on, and by the way, blocking streets, I'm sorry, drag them out of the street. You want to protest on the corner, get a permit, I'm sorry. When you block streets, and there is the chance that you are blocking a first responder or somebody who is trying to get to the hospital because there's a life and death situation, or a cardiac surgeon or a neurosurgeon that's barrel arsing to a hospital because a transplant organ has just arrived and there's a window of a few hours to get this done. No. When you do something that might block those people, I'm sorry, You get dragged out of the street. Maybe you need a little pepper spray moisturizer on the face. Little mace shampoo. I hear it does wonders for volumizing your hair. Look, I'm all for peaceful protest that does not target a specific religion and ethnicity. And maybe also, you know, some protest that actually is viable and doesn't tell a school's board of directors or trustees what they're going to do. Because I have news for the misguided souls. Although, you know, I understand they're passionate about something, and that's wonderful. The Yale Corporation is not, they don't care what you think. Columbia's Board of Trustees, guess what? They don't care what you think. They don't. And boy, I got to tell you, a couple of schools there, I'm watching some of these protests, and some of the stuff coming from these students, I had to pinch myself. Is this Germany in 1939? What are we looking at here? No. From the river to the sea, that ain't happening. Guess what? Israel's not going anywhere. Right now, though, a return visit by Cheryl Chumley. We've had her on a few times in the past. She's currently the online opinion editor, commentary writer, and host of the Bold and Blunt podcast for the Washington Times. That's WashingtonTimes.com. Several books available, too, including Lockdown, The Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom. Cheryl Chumley. Cheryl, good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be with you. Thank you.
About 15 miles or so from me up the road, Yale University in New Haven. We're outside that area, of course, not too far from Columbia. Cheryl, what do you make of all this? This is some scary stuff here. At least I think so. A lot of people on the left don't seem to think so, but I'm looking at this today, and even some of my, shall we say, center left-leaning friends are like, oh, this is not good. What do you mean? Where are we right now?
Well, where we are is the White House itself has finally come out and issued a statement acknowledging the abhorrent anti-Semitism that's taking place on America's college campuses and calling it despicable and calling for it to stop. And so, you know, for this White House administration to get involved in slapping down the hands of the very base of voters that Joe Biden was trying to court, the pro-Palestinian protest movement, you know it's gotten to be pretty bad. And if you look at what's taking place in Yale, Columbia, Rutgers, and so forth, it's in chaos. It's absolute chaos.
And you know, Cheryl, we have all these officials around here in Connecticut. I'm sure where you are down there as well. There's a rise in anti-Semitism and how disturbing it is as they beat their breast and pad their brow. And I've always maintained, Cheryl, how surprising is this when some of the big universities that you and I are talking about right now are basically petri dishes for this sort of stuff? How is anybody surprised by this?
You make an excellent point, and it's actually sort of the theme of a commentary that I wrote for tomorrow's Washington Times, pinning the blame for what's taking place on college campuses right now by way of the anti-Semitism and so forth on the Democrat Party. Because, look, it's the Democrat Party that for years and years now has moved more and more left, more and more down the Marxist trail. And with that comes a sort of divide and conquer type of mindset. And they've been successful doing that between the sexes, right, men versus women. They've been successful doing that between races, pitting races against each other and so forth. And combined with that, with the dumbing down of Democrat control in schools, the dumbing down of the students, what you have now on college campuses are youth who not only hate America, but detest America's allies and look at historic friends of America and historic friends of freedom as the ones who are the aggressors. And so it really is no surprise when you see this anti-Semitism on America's college campuses. It comes by way of the very ignorance that Democrats themselves have been fostering for years.
Imagine, Cheryl, if you will, and the guest, by the way, is Cheryl Chumley from the Washington Times. Imagine, Cheryl, if you will, hypothetically, if instead of a group of people chanting from the river to the sea, referring to Israel and what they refer to as Palestine. Imagine a group of white students chanting, I don't know, something akin to, you know, getting rid of a country, of an independent country on the African continent. I mean, my God, the Justice Department would be all over those schools, and I think all over those students as well they should be before the sun went down. It's mind-boggling.
It is, and this is the evil of it, right? We just had Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez come out and commend students for their peaceful protests on America's college campuses. And you have to wonder, where is this woman's mind? Where does she dwell? Because in the reality, in the real life, right, all you have to do is Google Columbia, Yale, right, and scores of headlines come up about Columbia University shutting down classes because it's too chaotic, about a rabbi at Columbia University telling Jewish students, go home, you are not safe here, and about all the horrific chants that are coming out of what's still being billed ludicrously, in my opinion, as pro-Palestinian protesters, right? They're actually anti-Israel pro-terror group protesters. The rhetoric that's coming from them, talking about the militant wing of Hamas and saying, we're coming next for you, and pointing at Jews on college campuses. This isn't a simple First Amendment freedom. This is outright intimidation, and it's really to the point where massive police presence, if not National Guard presence, needs to be brought in.
Hey, Cheryl, one of my cousins who passed away years ago, he was in the National Guard when the city of New Haven, where Yale is, city of my birth, you know, late 60s, early 70s, you had the Black Panther trials there, and the city and Yale sought to keep order. And yeah, you're right. Maybe the National Guard is what we're looking at. You know, Cheryl, finally, the political ramifications of this, because folks like you and I, we always look at that. Is the White House, is their first order of business here to save Michigan? Does this ripple, does the effect of this maybe ripple into November? Or maybe I'm just being too pie in the sky when I'm seeing one of the headlines on an all news channel here is about the Donald Trump Access Hollywood tape, because apparently we're back to that from 2015. Oh my God.
Well, I do believe that there is going to be a consequence for Democrats and for Joe Biden specifically on November election. The reason I say that is because, as I opened with, this White House has issued a statement condemning these protests, and they had all kinds of time to do this before. It's only now, right? It's only now, as polls are showing, that people are disgusted with the anti-Semitism. And so I think that Democrats have a real problem with their image right now. They have a problem that has really come to light over the last few years, whether we're talking about the anti-Semitism that was allowed in the pages of the New York Times or in Congress when Nancy Pelosi was in charge of the House, and she issued resolutions not just against the squad members who openly chanted and spoke of anti-Semitic sayings, but also against Christians, and she watered it down that way. So the Democrat Party has a image to overcome, and that's one that Americans detest, anti-Semitism.
All right, check out Cheryl's column tomorrow, fresh column, she says, about this very topic. She is the online opinion editor, commentary writer, and host of the Bold and Blunt podcast at The Washington Times. Cheryl, looking forward to read that tomorrow at WashingtonTimes.com. Cheryl Chumley. Cheryl, thank you. Take care. We'll talk down the road. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, Cheryl Chumley there, Chumley. The online opinion editor, commentary writer, and host of the Bold and Blunt podcast for the Washington Times. Terry Cowgill joins us, Connecticut News Junkie, and Substack.com. The blog there is Red Meat for Mushy Moderates. Mr. Cowgill, good afternoon. Not a shortage today of things to talk about, huh?
No, not at all. I mean, currently, I'm just really glad that I don't live anywhere near downtown New Haven.
Trying to drive around, getting somewhere, right?
Oh, my goodness. I The Yale authorities, they really have their hands full, but yeah. It looks like they're finally getting a handle on this. All of these protests, by the way, all of these vile anti-Semitic protests that we're seeing, including the one that involves some violence with a Jewish student who was attacked and her eye was hit and she had to be hospitalized. All of these things do raise a larger question of what's acceptable in terms of protest and civil disobedience. And I got into a little tit for tat with a person on social media recently about this. And I said, look, I'm all for lawful protest. And she said, well, then you would not have supported the civil rights movement and Gandhi and Nelson Mandela because they did illegal protests. And, I'm not sure that that's an apples to apples comparison, frankly. Because when you do break the law, you know, one of the principles of civil disobedience, and Gandhi will tell you this, is that you accept your punishment.
People
are not doing this.
Complaining
about getting arrested.
I'm not sure. Now, I've watched a lot of documentaries and read as much as I can about the man. I'm not sure that Martin Luther King, now, if he did, let me know about it. Anybody wants to send something in. I don't think Dr. King led chants that advocated for basically cleaning out a country and shoving the population into the sea. Now, call me crazy, but I don't think that happened, you know?
No, you're right, and the content of their speech, I suppose, is a different issue, rather than their right to, you know, as it says in the Constitution, they're the right to peaceably assemble. And when you're blocking traffic, you're not peaceably assembling because you're causing a disruption in the lives of people that you're not connected with, and perhaps you're not even trying to reach necessarily. So. But anyway, they have arrested the Yale police and New Haven police, presumably have arrested some of these people, I think about 45 or so. But they've got a real problem on their hands, and I think they should start suspending, if they haven't already, they should start suspending a lot of these students. So the worst actors, they should actually take or maybe even expel the worst ones. Because they've got to do something, or this is never going to stop.
Yeah, and Terry, you and I both know. Listen, I think you're a little bit more of a child of the 60s than I am, but I remember the coverage. Everybody says, well, what about Vietnam? But that was a completely different time. That did not have the overtly racial and religious overtones that we're looking at now. So, yeah, there was some pretty nasty protests during Vietnam, and we all remember about Kent State and all that, and the takeovers at Berkeley, but anybody objectively knowledgeable about this stuff knows that even that was not the same thing.
No, not at all. I don't think so, at any rate. And one of the big issues that really drove the Vietnam War protests was the draft. You know, college-age kids didn't like the idea of being dragged out of school if they didn't get a deferment and being, you know, thrown into the jungles of Vietnam. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, that practically no one in Congress is for the draft anymore. Because they realize you start one of these military actions, you're going to get tons of protests against it if you have the draft. And so I don't even think anybody has raised it in like 15 years since Charlie Rangel did.
Yeah. So. Oh, Charlie Rangel. There's a name I didn't think I'd hear when I woke up this morning. One more thing on this Yale thing before we shift to a couple of other things. One thing you wrote about abortion. It's interesting and tragic to me because And I kind of put this up on Facebook today, just and it did hit the nerve. I thought it would, but I just was thinking, especially in today's information age, Terry, where prospective students at a school can pretty much look up everything. Where, and excuse my bluntness here, but where does a student get off going to Yale or to Harvard or Columbia or any college on the face of the earth? And then when they decide to patronize, much the way you or I decide to go to a restaurant, we decide to spend our money there, and they're there for a year or so, and then they make demands of the school to change its business policy or its investment policy. I mean, you know, did they not do a little research beforehand? I don't know about you, Terry. I find that a little disingenuous.
not only that, but it shows a complete lack of knowledge of economics, because these are the same people who are crying out for needs blind admission. So everybody gets in regardless of their ability to pay. Where do they think all the money comes from financial aid? It comes from high performing stocks. And, you know, defense industry stocks have generally been a very good investment over mm-hmm. the years.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure they even know what they're talking about.
All right, you wrote a piece here for Substack, your latest piece, and thank God you wrote this because, you know, about a year or two ago, Terry, I was like, well, abortion, now Roe's going to be there. Then that happened, and now you have, people talk about a civil war. You've got a civil war again. Shockingly, who would have thought this would have happened about abortion?
Yeah, I mean, what I wrote about essentially is that, yeah, this it's a really good issue, I think, for Democrats. I don't think they want to just fall back on it all the time in terms of gaining control of both houses of Congress and retaining the White House. But it is working for them because I think this Arizona, what happened in Arizona was a gift from the heavens for the Democrats.
Oh, my God.
Right? Yeah. Reverting to this law that was passed during Reconstruction while Abraham Lincoln was president, and Arizona wasn't even a state yet. It bans almost all abortions. So this was a real gift to them. And what do you know? The latest Siena New York Times poll shows Biden picking up some ground on Trump, mm-hmm. and now Trump only leads Biden 46-44 in the national popular vote, but now, this is the most interesting thing. I appeared on a program on a different radio show in Connecticut, and the host really grilled me because I said I thought that Robert Kennedy would take some votes away from Trump because of the vaccine angle. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Oh no, Trump people are only skeptical of the COVID vaccine, not the others." Well, lo and behold, you see with this NBC poll that actually when you throw all of the independent candidates mm-hmm. into the mix,
yeah.
what happens? Biden actually leads Trump 39-37 mm-hmm. because 13% goes to Robert Kennedy.
Yeah.
You have to think that some of that it's Trump people. So this is really interesting, the impact that it's having on the race. I think the impact of the abortion issue is driving some of this, no question.
Yeah, and finally, bravo, Terry, to House Speaker Mike Johnson. And I have a lot of my conservative friends and, you know, some people I know saying, oh, my God, foreign wars, foreign entanglement. You know, good for Mike Johnson. Can Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene and those entire, can you just shut up? You know, Terry, one thing I always say, and I think you'll find this true, one thing Democrats are very good at is avoiding circular firing squads. You never see them do this, and the Republicans take that to an Olympic level. They really do.
Yeah. Olympic is a good way to put it. Yeah. I mean, this, I think, you know, because the House Speaker Mike Johnson was initially, I think, very skeptical of this aid to Ukraine thing. Mm-hmm. He really was. And something happened to turn him around. And I suspect what happens, and correct me if you disagree, as I think that he received some intelligence briefings from people who run agencies that have acronyms like the CIA, mm-hmm. the NSA.
Mm-hmm.
He probably got briefed by men in uniform who have four stars on their shoulders.
Sure.
And they said, look, this is really critical. And indeed, Johnson, when he came out and announced the vote was going forward, he said, I'd rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what probably did it, was the idea that, yeah, if you don't like foreign wars, then send this aid to Ukraine, because if Ukraine invades a NATO country, if Russia invades a NATO country, boom, we're in, baby.
Our midday host here, who syndicated out of Atlanta, Eric Erickson. Eric mused, I think, today. I kind of had half an ear on him while I was prepping my show. He wondered aloud, I believe, maybe some Trump people or some people in the Trump wing said, listen, we don't need this to blow up in our faces. You know, listen, if we have any shot to win here, we've got to act like the adults and you have to do the right thing. I don't think that's out of the realm either. Because if you notice, Terry, Trump is very quiet, if anything, about Ukraine. He's not really staking out this whole America First thing on that issue.
Yes, he actually hasn't said much about it.
Yeah.
And hasn't really shown any leadership on this, although I think he's kind of busy at the moment.
Yeah.
with his court appearances, and where he appears to be falling asleep. He had to be jolted awake, according to reports earlier today. He must be exhausted. He looks like a wreck anyway. And so I suspect I would be, too, if I had to, endure what he's enduring now. But you're right. No shortage of things to talk about, Paul. And yeah. I don't think the news is going to ease up anytime soon.
No, Terry, thank you. Terry Cowgill. Check him out, ConnecticutNewsJunkie.com, also Substack.com. Red meat from us, you moderates. Terry, you're off next Monday, visiting family. Enjoy that. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thank you, sir.
Very good.
Take care, Terry. Bye-bye. There you go. All right, there you go.